Well, good morning. I am glad to see all of you today. And want to tell you a little bit about how Bible class is going to go this morning and how it's going to also relate with our sermon. I talked to Brent a little bit and going to do something a little bit different in our class. We started out last week with the book of Acts, and we have discussed that, and I think we've had some discussions about it in several classes here recently. So what I'm going to do is I am going to incorporate Acts in our discussion today, but it's going to come more at the sermon hour. And I'm going to lead us in to that discussion this morning in our Bible class today. There was a book that was written a few years ago entitled The Holy Hunger, and there's a lot of good information in that book. It helps us think about hungering for God in our life. And that's what I'm going to lead us into in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, which is what we were supposed to study in this class anyways. It's just you're going to get it in the sermon hour so that everybody's going to get it as well. And we're going to lead into our hungering for God. And really the idea behind this is to help us in our life to be better able to seek God appropriately and to develop the relationship with Him that we need to develop with Him in our life. Our very first passage today is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they will be filled, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to think about and have an understanding for our hunger with God. Understanding our hunger. Now, that probably is going to lead us into a tough question. And that question for us is this: what is life about? And maybe you've contemplated your purpose in life. Maybe you've thought about what life is about. I think that our world, though, truly... Yes? Cage got him. Yes, Ronnie has a need for 3 golf balls in his Bible class. It might be more interesting. I don't know if everybody runs over there to see Ronnie perform a trick or something with his golf balls, but yes. Did I say 6? Oh, yeah, it's 5-6 instead of 6-5. Sorry, I think, yes, you're exactly right. That is Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. I did 6-5 instead of 5-6. So I apologize for that mess up there. But in Matthew 5-6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Which is funny, Larry, because I caught, as I was reading through this morning, I caught another little problem. And so I had just emailed them a new PowerPoint with the corrected change for another line, and I missed probably the most obvious one. So, well, that's the way it goes sometimes. So y'all know that it's Matthew 5-6 instead. So we ask the question, what is life about? What is our purpose in life? Now, most of us are probably on a search for purpose, aren't we? When you live your life, you want to feel like that your life was lived and that there was value to it and that there was a purpose to the life that you lived while you were here on this earth. Now, a lot of people have a misunderstanding about what their purpose in life is. A lot of people want to associate their purpose with what? Okay, with making money. What's another thing? You know, the purpose of life is for me to achieve as much as I can while I'm here, to gain as much as I can, to have wealth, to maybe have money. What else? A lot of people associate their identity with something too. What is that? With their family. That's one thing. They associate their identity with their family. What else? Their job. A lot of times people associate their identity with their job. And they believe that maybe their purpose in life is the work that they are doing right now. Now, certainly, all of those things factor into all of what we want to be about and the value that we have for society. But what is the real purpose in life? You know, a lot of people believe that if we stay busy, then if our calendar is full, if we maybe have a little money, if we're enjoying life, we're able to take vacations, we have a good job, then you know what? I'm living a purposeful life. I have a good purpose in my life if I can accomplish these types of thing. I must be living a life of purpose if all of these things are going well in my life. But again, we've talked about how that although we may associate life's purpose with what we can achieve financially or what we can have that's an earthly possession or what we might have as far as family or what our job may be in our life. This is not all of what life is about. And if that is all there is as far as our purpose in life, then maybe we're finding life a little bit unfulfilled. And that's what I want us to think about today. Let's look at this. Sometimes we have no idea where we're going in life. You know, we mentioned a moment ago that our calendars may be full. We may be very busy in our life. And so we think that that must be the purpose that we have. But we're going through life and we're going at it very fast. If we just have a busy calendar, that doesn't necessarily mean that we know what our purpose is. It just means that we're going through life at a rapid pace and things pass by very quickly. You've probably heard this before. We're just doing our time. When have you ever heard that? Okay, a lot of times you'll hear that when people are incarcerated. They'll say, well, I'm just doing my time. Do you know what? We may not realize it, but if our purpose in life is about all the things on this earth, then guess what we're doing? We're just doing our time here. That's it. We're just doing our time here. And there's nothing more to that. We must understand that the wisdom of this world cannot satisfy life's hunger. It can't. It can't satisfy it. And I want us to verify that by looking at our track record when it comes to seeking those things that the world will tell us bring satisfaction. And if that's all that we're about is just seeking the things of this world, look at what we have. A lot of times we have broken relationships. We have scarred lives. Sometimes it results in domestic violence, loneliness, shattered dreams. Sometimes it can even involve substance abuse. And sadly, there are even occasions when there are abandoned children as a result of us seeking the things of this world and that being our purpose in life. So, what can we do about this? Well, there's a couple of principles that we need to understand. We need to understand some principles, and I hope that you will enter into the discussion with me on some of these things today. And the first principle is this, and this is what we have to understand. Principle number one, we got to get this. We were made to live in relationship with God. We were made to live in relationship with God. How do we know that? How do we know that? Okay, the way God created man. How so, Cliff? Okay. Thank you, Cliff. You're exactly right. First of all, we've been made in God's image, haven't we? All right, we've been made in the image of God. But God put man in a garden, and while they were in that garden to begin with, what was God able to do? Yeah, God visited them. God created man so that he could be in what? So that he could be in relationship with him. He wanted that from the very beginning. He wanted to be in a relationship with human beings. And so he created them and he put them in a place where he could come and be with them. And they did what? They broke the relationship. We broke the relationship. But that doesn't destroy our need to have that relationship, even though the relationship was broken. We still have a need, as God's created being, to be in relationship with Him. Now, if we ignore that, we're going to wind up starving spiritually. Because, again, as we said before, there's nothing here on this earth that can satisfy this hunger that we feel for relationship, especially relationship with God. And we're going to talk about that now. Sometimes we confuse our spiritual hunger for relationship with God as just a hunger for relationship in general. Now, when that's the case, and when we get confused about needing having a spiritual hunger for relationship and confusing that with just having a relationship in general, what can that lead to? What can be the consequence of that when we don't appreciate the first part of that statement, that we need spiritual relationship with God? What will that lead us to? Okay, that's right. We will try to feel that relationship with people. Sometimes leads us to chase after people that what? They're not good for us. You know folks like that? You know folks that are chasing after relationship for people just because they feel like they need to have a relationship, and it's relationship that's not good for them at all. But it's because, for whatever reason, they've not bought into what their purpose in life is, what their value is, and that they need relationship with God more than anything. And when we can get that relationship straightened out with God, guess what? That desperate need that we feel for relationship is not there. And so we won't make those bad decisions and chase after people that aren't good for us because we feel the need of having relationship. All right? What else? We try to find a perfect relationship, as Steve kind of mentioned, with other people. Try to find a perfect relationship with other people. Now, you have seen this, I'm certain. There are times, and we love our family quite a bit, don't we? I mean, I love my mom and dad. I love my children. I love my wife. I love them tremendously. But you know what? There is a sense in which sometimes our love for our family can be unhealthy. You ever seen that? We fill the void of relationship with a parent, a child, or a spouse, and we might do so in an unhealthy way. How is that possible? How is that possible? To love our parent, child, spouse in an unhealthy way. Okay, all right, thanks, Tony. We put their needs before the needs that we have for God. We let them fill the void of a relationship. We put all of our time and our attention and on them, on what they're doing, what they're involved with. We might listen to them. There might be a situation where a parent is in the ear of a child more than it needs to be, and we do what they say as opposed to doing what may be right. It might be that a spouse can be guilty of this, you know, just so that I can make them happy, and I'll do this instead of doing what I need to do in building a relationship with God. So there is a way in which we can fill that void with parent, child, or spouse, but it may be in an unhealthy way. Now, that's not to take away from loving our family and taking care of them and being there for them. I'm not trying to do that, but there are situations where it can be unhealthy for us to fill the void with them. Now, what eventually happens is this. These relationships will lead to disappointment. They will. Why will these relationships lead to disappointment? If you're trying to find complete and total happiness in these earthly relationships, why will they lead to disappointment? They'll end. That's right, Nikki. They'll end. They will come to an end. And then where are you? And then what else? Yes, Steve.
They'll simply lack. When Magellan and history was sailing around the world to circumnavigate it,
yeah.
They ran out of food. And
Chris?
Okay. Simply that those relationships will just lack something that's essential. When Magellan and his crew were sailing around the world circumnavigating it, they ran out of food. They found they could survive by eating leather. Okay. The problem was leather doesn't have a lot of the vitamins in it that our body needs, and so they all developed scurvy, and some of them died from that, which is easily correctable. Just was a vitamin B or vitamin C, one or the other that's missing, you know, and you have that, and you don't have scurvy anymore. See, it works sort of, but not as well as it should have. And the same thing is true with these relationships. They work on one level, but they just don't meet all of our actual needs.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, another way to say that is this. These relationships will end in disappointment or will lead to disappointment because there are no perfect human relationships. There aren't. Now, you may feel like that you have a great relationship with your spouse. I feel that way. I feel like I have a wonderful relationship with my parents. I love my children. I feel like I have a good relationship with them. But you know what? I don't have a perfect relationship. You mean why? Because I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Yes, Tim. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. There's something to that, Tim. Yep. All right. The thing is, when we look at this, it's like what Steve mentioned a moment ago. It's like what Nikki mentioned and what Tim mentioned. All these things are factors in that. But there are no perfect human relationships. Now, that leads us to our next slide. And I want to give you an alert. There is no person that can make you or me feel satisfied. There is no person. Nobody. Why is that? You can never feel completely satisfied with... Why? What indication or what scripture might help us be able to better understand that? What about this? You know that Scripture never tells us to love another person with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Why? Because that love is reserved for who? For God. God. Now, we're supposed to love our wives as we love ourselves and be sacrificial, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But you find me a scripture that says, Steve, I want you to love your neighbor with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you tell me where that scripture is in the Bible. Why is that scripture not found? Because that love is reserved for God only. And we think about that. In fact, if we go into the scriptures, you're going to find that if you love who? Father, mother, wife or husband, son or daughter, more than me, you are what? What'd you say, Cliff? You are not worthy of me. So, Jesus made it clear that our love for Him and relationship with Him has to take precedence over any other relationship that we have. And we don't understand that and appreciate it, and we try to fill our satisfaction with, well, this person's going to make me happy. And that person's going to make me happy. I'm going to find happiness now chasing after the relationship, because we are people that need relationship. And God recognized that. That's why He created Eve for Adam. And they were there to be together because they needed relationship. But the most important relationship was the relationship that God has with us. And that's the one that we've got to work on fostering. And if we will do that, then we won't find ourselves struggling. Now, think about this for a second. Let this soak in and see if maybe you understand where I'm going with this. In fact, I would suggest that if you are struggling in an earthly relationship, then the deeper cause of that problem is that you are struggling in your relationship with God. Now, how could that be true?
If your earthly relationships aren't satisfying you because they can't satisfy
right.
you, you can get aggravated at the person because you're not being satisfied, but only God can satisfy you.
Right, that's right. That's exactly right. You can become aggravated because you're not satisfied. And if you've got a problem and that person's not satisfying you, then it's like what Steve was saying. It's because you haven't found satisfaction in your relationship. And the only way that you can find true satisfaction in your relationship is finding it in a relationship with the Almighty. And when we have a good relationship with the Almighty and find it in those ways, then we will find that we can have better relationship all the way around in general. So that's why it's important for us to put God first. Now, that's principle number one, that man was built to be in relationship with God. And that's important and significant for us. If we want, if we're the kind of people that are hungering for God, then we've got to develop that relationship with Him. Now, principle number two that I want us to discuss in our hungering for God is this: knowing about God is not necessarily knowing God. Knowing about God is not necessarily knowing God. We sometimes grade our Christianity or our relationship with God by how many Bible facts we can memorize or how many scriptures we can quote or how many biblical stories we might be able to retell, how much knowledge we have about the Bible. That's how we sometimes grade our relationship with God. Oh yeah, I study my Bible all the time. I know all about these things. But knowing about God and knowing about His Word doesn't necessarily mean that we know God and are in a relationship with God. Here is a quote from the book Holy Hunger by Mike Copeland, and I put this one in bold because I thought this was a phenomenal quote that we need to remember. The goal of Scripture isn't minds filled with facts about God, but hearts that are using those facts to be full of His presence. Let that sink in for a moment. And I'm not here to tell you that biblical knowledge isn't important, because, quite frankly, there's a lack of it in our society and a lack of biblical knowledge in our world. People don't understand the Scriptures the way that they need to understand the Scriptures. They're not studying the Scriptures the way they need to study the Scriptures. But it doesn't matter if you memorize every bit of the Bible and you could tell anybody else where to find something in Scripture. If you don't make it part of your life and if it's not applicable to you, and you're not living it, it doesn't do you any good. Steve, you may know which one of the Russian leaders spent some time in Siberia, and it was said he was able to quote, and I don't know if it was all the New Testament or if it was the Bible in general, but was able to quote all of that, but was considered one of the most ruthless and evil leaders that they had in Russia. I can't remember which one it was, but yes. That's it. That's the one. Nikita Khrushchev. Thank you, Herschel. Appreciate that. All right. Knew all he needed. I mean, tell you where to find a verse, quote it for you. I'll memorize the thing. One of the most ruthless individuals to live. Cruel. That's why, because it didn't sink in. He didn't live it. He knew it. And if knowledge is the way to grade it, then there's a lot of people that can get the knowledge. There's a lot of people that consider themselves to be historians and theologians who have a lot of knowledge about God, or at least about what the Bible says concerning God. But that doesn't mean that they apply what they know. And so knowing about God is not necessarily knowing God. Now, we do need the Scriptures. I'm not saying put your Bibles down and just don't worry about it. Hey, let's just develop a... No, we have to have the Scriptures in order to understand how to have relationship with God. But we have to put those things into practice and apply them in our life. Here's something that I wrote down, and this was just my thought. Information is not the key to eternal life. Application of the appropriate information in combination with God's grace is the key to eternal life. Everybody get that? Which basically is a restatement and a rephrasing of Ephesians 2 verse 8. Which is what? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes. Yeah. That seems to happen to me a lot. When it comes to instructions on how to do things, I can read it, I might even understand it. But somehow or another, it doesn't translate to me doing it correctly. So that happens to me quite often. And so I do appreciate and understand that. So, principle number two, knowing about God is not necessarily knowing God. All right? And then, here's principle number three. Principle number three. And I got about 20 minutes, and I don't know that we're going to go that long because I want to lead us into our sermon for today. And I don't want to step on all of that either. But here's principle number three. Don't be satisfied with pyrite when you can have gold. Now, what is pyrite? Bull's gold. Okay. Well, y'all know how much I love Westerns. And, you know, my favorite Western show is what? Thank you, Tony. Tony's got it. Bonanza. All right. But my second favorite one is The Big Valley. I like Gunsmoke third, but The Big Valley is my second favorite. I like The Big Valley. I don't know why. I like the Barkley family. Anyways, one of the episodes, Heath Barkley apparently was supposed to inherit from a guy who said he was a relative of his, a big mountain, and that mountain was full of gold. But when they went and had it looked at and tested, all they found there was a bunch of pyrite. A lot of sparkle, not a lot of value, right? A lot of times in life, we are settling for fool's gold. We're settling for pyrite. We're settling for the sparkle, but we're not getting anything of value out of it. And that leaves us hungry for more, doesn't it? Hungry for more, because we can never be satisfied with the things of this world. So don't be satisfied with pyrite when you can have gold. Instead of craving a vibrant relationship with God, we settle for working to have the house, or to build the family, or to create a few friends, or to make sure that we are fulfilling what we need to do with our work, and that takes precedence, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. We can do that. And all of that is fool's gold when we can have the real thing, the value. I'll tell you a story. The story was told about a little boy who was 12 years old. I don't know all the particulars to the story. All I know is this, that the little boy got angry one day. He's 12 years old. He got angry and he killed his father. Killed his father. Of course, you know, they have to do an investigation. They have to take the boy down to the police station. One of the officers was walking down the hall, and as he was walking down the hall, he could hear the boy crying and whimpering. And he heard the boy continue to say over and over, "I want my daddy. I want my daddy. I want my daddy." You know what I think about that? I think about the application for us. You know what? We are destroying our relationship with God with all of these other things in life, trying to build relationships in other ways, having to have other things. We're destroying our relationship with God, and all the while, we're crying and hungering to have Him because we need Him. And we were built to have a relationship with Him. And nothing else will satisfy. And this, to be quite honest with you, is the desperate cry of the world right now. It's the desperate cry of the world. Now, here's the problem. The world doesn't know what it's crying for. It doesn't know what it needs. It doesn't know what it wants specifically. It just knows that it needs something and it's missing something. And so, what do? We say, okay, well, we go to these supposedly intellectual individuals. Okay, well, what is the purpose of life? What am I here for? I'm struggling in my life and I don't know what to do. And what should I do? What should I seek? And we got all of this advice coming to us. And most of it is what? Worthless. Worthless. Because the world doesn't know what it needs. The world sometimes knows what it thinks it wants, but there are people that are starving. They're spiritually starving, and they don't know what they need in life. And it's the desperate cry that we hear from the world all the time. And so that's why it's important for us to not be satisfied with pyrite when we can have the real thing, but also make sure that the people of this world recognize that this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing. And that's the mission of Christians, isn't it? It's the mission of Christians to be the light of the world, to show the world, guess what? This is what you're missing. And if you're missing this, you're never going to be satisfied. And so a lot of times what happens in the world is this. When people can't find their purpose or don't realize their purpose or can never be satisfied with the purpose that the world tells them that they have here, what will they do? They lose hope. And oftentimes they'll what? Check out. Because there is no purpose. Because I can't find value in the things of this earth and this world. Now, that leads me to, and I don't have another point on this, but this leads me to my next point, which is this. One of these days, the same cry that we heard from that child will be the cry that we hear in eternity. I want my Father. I want my Father. At that point, nothing can be done about it. Desperate cry of people in eternity. I want my Father. When you've killed a relationship with Him all of your life, never sought Him, needed to have it, one day you'll want it. Isn't that the way we are? When we lose things and we can't have it, that's when we what? That's when we want it. So it's important for us to realize the purpose of life now. Fear God, to keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It's our purpose in life. Have relationship with God. Now I want to share with you a few testimonials. Listen to a couple of testimonials from Scripture, and then the lesson will be yours for today. First one is this. Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's a testimonial about hungering for God from David, Psalm 63:1. Testimonials. You know, a lot of times we like to hear about people and their testimonials and their ideas about some things. Well, here's a couple of them that we're going to study about. Here's another one. Your name and renown are the desire of my heart, of our hearts. My soul yearns for You in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for You. Isaiah. That's his testimonial in Isaiah chapter 26, 8b and 9. These guys understand this idea. David also said, as the deer, what? Pants for the water, so my soul longs after You. It's time for us to have this holy hunger. Now, I'm going to show you one more slide. It's got a passage of Scripture on it, and we can think about this, and I... open the floor up for discussion on it. This is also going to be the slide that I start my sermon with today. But here it is. And I want you to read this and listen to it. Whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. And you think about that for a moment. And here's the question that I have for all of us. Can we say we're there? Can I say, these are my sentiments? Can I say, and the earth has nothing I desire besides You? Have I gotten to that place in my life? In my relationship with God, where I say, you know what? I can give it all up for You. This earth holds nothing here over my relationship with You. That's what the psalmist said. It's what David would write. You know, earth has You know, I've gotten past this life. You know, I'm going to spend my time doing what I need to do for the Lord. I'm going to enjoy what time that I have here. I'm going to try to fulfill my purpose for being in relationship with God. But I'm telling you, there's nothing here on this earth that I desire more than you. And I recognize that fact. You know, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's when we can say that we're in the proper relationship with God. That holy hunger that we have for Him. When we can say, I don't need anything else. All I need you. All I need you. Any thoughts or comments? Questions? Okay, well, that's the first part. And I'll say that was 66% of the lesson today. I'm going to carry it over into today in a sermon. But since the class was like 35, 40 minutes long, I'm not going that long in the sermon, so you don't have to be too nervous about it. But. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of people that can be fooled, and even we can be fooled with excitement over something for a short term. And it's like what you're saying. Sometimes people that are in religion that may not be following God's will, they find relationship in some of that, and for a while that might satisfy for a little bit, but what eventually happens, it doesn't satisfy completely, which is what we're looking for. But the same thing can be said about us. You know, how many people do you know that do things for to feel better, to satisfy themselves, that might bring them happiness for a while? What about people, and I knew an individual like this before, for a while, if he would go and buy something, it'd make him feel better for a while. You know, oh yeah, I got a new. If we get a new toy to play with, or something like that, then oh man, yeah, I'm on cloud nine. Everything is good in the world. But how long does that last? Until the newness of the toy wears off, and then we're right back where we were before. Yes, Nikki. That's exactly right. It's trading something permanent for something temporary. It's exactly right. And it's like trying to, I heard the statement made in the book like this, trying to satisfy our need for relationship with relationships in this world or things of this world is kind of like a fish trying to breathe out of the water. You know, that's not what it was made for. And we were made to be in relationship with God. And so we are sacrificing that. It's going to be a short life for that fish outside the water, and there's going to be a short time of satisfaction and joy and happiness for us when we try to replace our relationship with God with the things of this earth. And it is. It is the temporary versus the permanent. It is. And this kind of goes back to one of the main principles of the Bible, short-term loss, long-term gain. You ever heard that concept before? Short-term loss, long-term gain. You know, we've been told to do what in our lives? Whoever will lose his what? Whoever will lose his life here for my sake will what? Will what?
Save it.
That's right. And give my life to God and not do things while I'm here for myself and just about me, and the center of the universe is me, but the center of my universe is God. If I give that up, then there's long-term what? There's long-term gain. So short-term loss, long-term gain. All right. Any other thoughts, comments?
Got a minute, can I tell you a story?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, microphone. Chris, thank you.
Okay. One of my favorite examples of misplaced values comes from an article I read in a magazine about an art exhibit where this artist had taken some paper cups and some napkins and arranged them just as a piece of art. Okay? And someone bought the art, but that night when the janitors came in, they didn't realize that. They thought it was garbage that had been left behind from the exhibit and threw it out. And so then the owner of the place had to try to dig the art back out of the garbage can and rearrange it the way it was so that it was art. And I think about, you know, we can't tell art from garbage, and we can't tell lust from love. We can't tell happiness from a buzz or a high, you know. That's just the situation we're in.
That's right. That's a good point there, Steve. Very good. All right. Everybody heard that. I'm glad that we had the microphone here. Any other comments or thoughts? We got about 2 minutes until the other classes dismiss and come in here, so I'll let you. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right. Something to can to sustain you. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Listen, you're right, Melissa. From this problem of seeking relationship and needing relationship is a problem from bar rooms to Bible classes across the world. It's not unique to just those that are out in the world. It goes back to what we were talking about a few moments ago, where sometimes we believe that if we'll come to serve it and if we'll just fill our mind with information about things, well, then that builds our relationship. Well, that's not true. It's more than that. And there are people that have done that all of their life, and they've done that in congregations and in Bible classes, but their relationship with God has never gone deeper than that. And they're suffering and struggling, just like some of the people that try to find it in other places. Stronger. Yep, that's right. Some of the things that bring us low will make us strong, make us seek what we need the most. Thank you for your participation in your conversation in class this morning.